Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I am the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We invite you to come and visit anytime if you're in Colorado. And if you're just passing through, we have more visitors from out of state per church attendee than maybe any church I've ever attended. It's so neat to meet folks from all over the country. And that's because of this program, Bob Inyart Live, which airs thanks to the internet. Now, we're on a broadcast station, 50,000 watts, which is Colorado's most powerful station. It's one of the top 10 most powerful in the country, and it's also the most powerful Christian radio station in the country. So what an honor to be on KLTT AM 670. Now, have you heard of the book? The title of this book shows up in headlines in the news. And so I imagine otherwise, I'd never have heard of it, but it's called 50 Shades of Grey. Now, I'm afraid that this book is probably some kind of a soft porn type book, romance novels type book. But the reason I'm mentioning it here is because scientists thought it would be interesting to check out 10 books from the library. And they spoke to librarians and they asked, what are the most popular books that are loaned out in your library? And so they took one copy of each of the most 10, and one of them, one of those 10 titles was 50 Shades of Grey. And so they tested those books for drugs, for bacteria, just see what they'd find on the books physically. And sure enough, you know, it's somewhat surprising, not too surprising, but all 10 books tested positive for cocaine, all 10. And they said the amount of cocaine that was on the books, if you take a few hours with any of those books and read the books, turning page by page, you will not absorb enough cocaine to get high, but they said you will test positive for cocaine and they will be able to find it in your blood, in your hair, in other bodily fluids. That's a bit startling, and not completely startling, but, and it turns out that not only was there cocaine on this book, 50 Shades of Grey, I don't know that it's a romance novel, but that genre and soft porn, mostly for women, that kind of thing, which is almost as destructive as regular pornography is for guys, the romance novels for women, and very addicting. But in this book and one other, they found the herpes virus. So, but they said, you know, the alleged journalist who did the story said, but don't worry, it's not enough to infect you, she said, as she was making certain not to touch the book herself. So I don't know. This is a new take, right, on just insights into our culture and what's going on in the world we live in. But I think this story will result in an increase in ebook sales and Kindles and downloadable PDF versions of, you know, the plot. We offer the plot here at Bob Inyart Live, a guaranteed to be herpes free, no cocaine either. And you could listen to it. That's reasonably safe. You could listen to the MP3s, or you could download the PDF, or you can purchase it from us. The plot, by the way, is my life's work. It's an overview of the Bible. And you know how we Christians, we're like, in every area of human endeavor, there are disagreements. And within Christianity, our study of theology, our different denominations, it's no different in that respect. And we have passionate disagreements. And some of those disagreements are, you know, healthy. and some are destructive. Imagine how much more effective the body of Christ would be if we didn't have so much division. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But the reality is we are human beings, and the Bible, it describes both in the Old and New Testament those who love the Lord, serve the Lord, those who the Lord calls his servants, his people. It describes their struggle with the world, their flesh, temptation, and we will be delivered of our flesh when we see the Lord. So I'm looking forward to that tremendous day. Boy, that'll be great. But in the meantime, we do struggle as human beings. How the Lord puts up with us, I mean, it's obvious, just in that, it's obvious that he's God. I mean, no one but God could put up with us. Now, you would know what it's like to put up with you better than I would know. I know what it's like to put up with me. And my wife, if she wasn't already a saint because of being a Christian, people would nominate her for being a saint, for being my wife. But how does God put up with us? Well, his mercy and his love. But we disagree with one another on so many issues. And quite often, even when somebody becomes a new convert, they become a Christian, and they will be introduced to some idiosyncrasy of the church that they were saved in, or the denomination that they converted to Christ through some outreach. And so then they become an advocate of some particular doctrine. And I don't really even need to mention any particular one, but whatever category of, like end time stuff, or how to get saved stuff, whether baptism or miracles and sign gifts and healing and wonders and all those things, and many other areas. And we become experts before we really know too much about the Bible. We become experts in these particular details. We are experts, even though we haven't really learned about the whole Bible. And so then when someone challenges us, we end up with two lists of verses on our favorite topics. We have our proof text. These are the verses I quote to prove to people that I know what I'm talking about regarding the Sabbath or tithing or whatever, fill in the blank, predestination. And these are the verses that are my problem text. These are the verses that other people quote to me to say that they're right and I'm wrong. And so with the plot, what we've done is tried to take a step back and say, before we look at all these many details, the doctrinal details of the Bible, let's look at the story of the Bible, the plot, the overall story of the Bible. What does that say? What is the story about? And if we could become adept at the story, understanding really the sweeping account of history and specifically of God's dealings with his people in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, look at the plot. Are there any plot twists? Turns out there are some plot twists. You know, you read a good book, and quite often, or see a good movie, you got the plot, and then often there's a plot twist. Any plot twist in the Bible? There are some amazing plot twists. And so when you pick up on all that, then after you spend time looking at the overview of the Bible, what is the sweeping panorama of the historical accounts in Scripture? What are they teaching us? Then you turn to the details with a completely fresh perspective. And it's fun. It's fun, and I think it's a worthwhile project, process. When years ago, back in the late 70s, I went to Costa Mesa, California, and attended for a year Chuck Smith's church at Calvary Chapel. And I'm the pastor. Today, I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I don't pastor at Calvary Chapel. My doctrine is a bit different than Calvary Chapel. But what I loved about Chuck Smith is he taught through the whole Bible verse by verse. We do that at Denver Bible Church. We share some of that on Thursdays. Here on Bob Inert Live, we do Theology Thursdays. If you go to theologythursday.com, that's where you show up at our messages for the Thursday broadcast. And so Chuck Smith, even though I've eventually come to see certain details of the Bible differently than, say, the Calvary Chapel denomination, it was so valuable studying the Bible with Chuck Smith because he took so much of his time sharing Scripture. And if a large portion of what you're sharing is the Bible itself, then even if you're wrong on various issues, you're going to get a lot of truth across. So I appreciated that about Chuck Smith. He's now gone to be with the Lord. And so his doctrine now is a lot closer to Denver Bible. But so that's the plot, our overview of the Bible. And we, with all our materials at Bob and Yurt Live, we offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. So that's with books, DVDs, CDs, and we're happy to do that. People are so often, they express their joy at taking a fresh new look at the Bible. So by the way, you could call us 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go to our website, kgov.com, and you could click on the store, get a copy of the plot, and again, guaranteed to be cocaine-free. In fact, if you get the downloadable PDF or the MP3s, 100% guaranteed to be bacterial-free. You know, you could get a virus over the internet, right? It is possible. It has happened a few million times. But what's really interesting is that it will be possible eventually to get an actual virus over the internet. Possible. And people think that's crazy. But nowadays, you know how we have 3D printers? You could print parts. Like up on the space station now, they have a 3D printer so that if a part breaks, they don't have to wait until another launch vehicle brings a replacement. They could print a replacement part. Isn't that astounding? And we have, thanks to a friend of Bob and Yurt Live, Dr. John Sanford from Cornell University, he is the inventor, the primary inventor of the gene gun. And we now have output devices that could sequence amino acids. And eventually you're going to be able to print off a virus. It'll be an actual virus. Send a virus to somebody over the internet. It's a weird world. But libraries, my son Dominic and I went to a local library 2 weeks ago. We said, let's see if they still have the Star Wars books in the nonfiction section where we found them 2 years ago. And you'd think that a library would have your Star Wars books in the fiction section. But no, in the Golden Public Library, in the kids' room, there's an entire room for kids' materials. In the nonfiction section, you'll find all kinds of books on Star Wars. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, what's with the world we live in? And they have some excuse, but their excuse is absurd. I think what I'll do is post one or two of the photos we took there at the library. It's too much. Anyway, if you check out 50 Shades of Grey, you just might test positive for cocaine. If you get an unexpected drug test at work, or, well, whatever you do, when you read it, just keep it away. Well, don't read it, first of all, because it's immoral. So if you burn it, they're going to make you pay a replacement fee. It'd be expensive. It'd be better to buy your own copy than burn that. But that would be ridiculous. So anyway, 50 Shades of Grey, test positive for the herpes virus. And out of the 10 most popular books checked out at one particular library, I'm not mentioning which library because what's the difference, right? All right, let's also go to now the Drudge Report, Matt Drudge. Apparently, getting some of his headlines from right here at Bob Benyart Live. This one, did you notice this? From the U.S. Census, Americans living in poverty have air conditioning, DVD players, cell phones, and that's Americans living in poverty. We've been pointing that out for 20 years on this show, 22 years. I mean, poverty is not what it used to be. Poverty today, you have large, flat-screen, high-definition TVs hooked up to satellite, and you're among those that are counted as the poor. A lot of the poor, a lot of the kids of the poor in America have shoes that cost over $100 and jackets that cost a couple hundred. So being poor in America is not what it used to be, but there are, you know, don't give up hope. There's an effort to make people poor. It's called socialism, and that's where you share the poverty. All right, what else is in the news today for us to consider from a conservative Christian perspective? There is that poor guy. And the NFL on the Jaguars, he sports dreadlocks, and this Sunday, the defenseman came up with a handful of the guy's dreadlocks, just pulled right out of his skull. That I just felt so bad for that guy. And, you know, when players have helmets on, we have three sons who play hockey, and I can't tell one of them from another with their helmets on. I just can't. I have to ask my wife, where's our kid? And same thing with these NFL players. And it seemed to me for a while, I thought the same guy played on every NFL team. Because no matter what game you look at, here's this guy running down the field with these dreadlocks. I thought it was the same guy on every team until one Sunday, I noticed he was playing for both sides. And then I realized it must be more than one guy. But in this case, just what a shame to lose a chunk of your hair in a game, how that must have hurt. And it turns out it's perfectly legal in the NFL for a defenseman to grab the hair of someone he's tackling and yank him to the ground. Isn't that weird? So even with that, the fashion, and think of all the money you make, right, playing for the NFL, but fashion trumps the concern even to be tackled by your hair, fashion. And fashion is pretty a strong influence in our culture, of course. All right. We also have in the news, this story is, well, this is a United Methodist pastor who was in Massachusetts. Now, Pennsylvania is getting blamed for this story, but he was in Massachusetts when he performed a wedding for his son's marriage, and now he's being tried by the church. The church has this pontifical council thing, well, this ministerial council, and they are trying him because he officiated at his son's wedding, but his son married a guy. And here's this United Methodist minister who performed the homosexual wedding. And the wedding, even though this trial of this pastor, Frank Schaefer, and you know, Francis Schaefer, remember Francis Schaefer and his How Shall We Then Live and his amazing insight on where Western civilization was headed because of its materialism. And Francis Schaefer had a son, Frankie Schaefer, who was awfully godless in his worldview. And so, boy, what a coincidence, huh? The Reverend Frank Schaefer, now living in Pennsylvania, but performed a homosexual wedding in Massachusetts back when Mitt Romney was the governor of Massachusetts. And do you remember who the father of homosexual marriage is in America? You remember who it is, right? It's Mitt Romney. Now, Mitt Romney, it's a bit ironic that so many Christian organizations said that they lobbied for Mitt Romney to be their presidential candidate, and they campaigned in the, you know, in their own ways for Mitt Romney, and they defended him because we need Romney to defend marriage. And Romney is the one who single-handedly instituted homosexual marriage in the state of Massachusetts. He is the, and that was the first state to institute homosexual marriage. So Mitt Romney literally is the father of homosexual marriage. So I guess this United Methodist Frank Schaefer is just following Romney's lead, I guess. And now he's in trouble, rightly so, right? Because if you love your neighbor, if you love your son, you're going to warn them if they're in rebellion against God. And Jesus Christ said that God made us male and female. That was God's idea. And viva la difference. I mean, really good idea, Lord. Very smart. You know, the homosexuals say they're all about diversity. I mean, diversity is a man and a woman. Two guys is not diversity. That's anything but diversity. That's two guys. But we have here the United Methodist denomination, which is post-Christian in so many ways. And so how this trial plays out will be interesting. And, you know, you think about the United Methodist Church and you think, how can it get any worse? Well, I presume that as this trial, this ecclesiastical trial of this pastor plays out, we'll see how it could get worse, because, you know, it's not difficult to predict that it will get worse. But if you think about the influence of leaders over the congregation or over the culture, and think about Jesus and the Bible's teaching that leaders receive the stricter judgment, right? Doesn't the Bible say that? That teachers will receive the stricter judgment. Of course, that makes sense, because they directly influence others who trust them. And if they teach something false, then God, on judgment day, God will deal with them more harshly if they were a leader or a teacher, rather than just Joe Schmo who just happened to believe something wrong or even destructive. So I think about what's happening today in the black churches in America, and then I'll tie this in with Mitt Romney. You know, black churches for a few decades strongly resisted the cultural's, the assault against marriage and biblical morality in the area of homosexuality. Black churches and the black culture generally did not jump on the bandwagon early of promoting homosexuality. And black churches very much were standing against homosexual marriage. But there was something that was true of black churches that in and of itself was tragic. And so you could see and forecast, predict the consequences. Black churches overwhelmingly were and are pro Barack Obama. Now, why? Well, he's black, so there's an identity there, identification with him. When Barack Obama won the presidency, here on this show, we talked about the horrendous consequences that would come as a result. But I remember saying that the only good thing about Barack Obama being elected president is that he's black. And so it's so great for a black person to be able to be elected president in a largely white country. That's great. That's a good thing. So that was the only thing. The tragic thing was that such an evil man in rebellion against Jesus Christ, way more good things to say about Muhammad and Islam and the Quran than about Jesus and the Bible and Christianity. But the fact that Barack Obama supported the killing of unborn children, he is anti-Christian, anti-Christ in the most destructive, serious ways. and he's radically pro-homosexual. And I remember, you know, people said, well, Barack Obama's against homosexual marriage, and we'd laugh about that here. We just, how absurd. I mean, you believe that? What a joke that is. He's only against homosexual marriage as a ploy, a political tactic to get elected. He's not against homosexual marriage. That's a form of extreme rebellion against God. So, of course, he would support homosexual marriage, just like Mitt Romney. And so now Barack Obama is openly pro-homosexual marriage. And what we're finding in the black churches, now, I don't spend a lot of time in black churches, although I've been in some recently for their events and being invited. And what's happening, members of black churches sharing with us here at Bob Inert Live, that because Barack Obama is now publicly supporting homosexual marriage, they're seeing increasingly in their own churches that there is a reconsideration and a defense of even homosexual marriage. And so that's expected, right? When you take someone who's evil, who is known to be evil because they advocate killing innocent children and they reject the biblical morality that, you know, intimacy is to be between a man and a woman within marriage. That is what God is. He's made us that way, and he's revealed that to us. And so when you have somebody who's in rebellion against that and who's a socialist and an evolutionist and all that, then it's obvious. You begin to support him as a leader, and eventually you're going to be defending the wickedness that he stands for. And eventually that wickedness will become a part of who you are. So that's happening in the black churches. It's happening among even pro-life and conservative Christian leaders who supported Romney. They are gradually weakening their opposition to the things Romney stood for. And so eventually, so anyway, that's one of the main reasons that here at Bob Inert Live, we would warn people against candidates like Ken Buck in Colorado or Mitt Romney in Massachusetts or nationally, because it's like the warning in the New Testament against the Herodians, right? And Jesus against Herod. And they had their publicans and we have the Republicans. So we got to be careful. But if you have a strong biblical foundation, you could thrive. May God bless you.